Pisunice Natororibas Hishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama 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 Ivakibalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. So the first request was for verses 6 and 7 from the 13th chapter. Mahabhutan yahankaro buddhi ravyaktame bacha Indriyana dashai kancha pancha tendriya gochara Icha dvesha sukam dukam sanghat tash chetana dritti Etat shetrang samasena sa vikaramudharitam. So, in the beginning of this chapter, 13th chapter, Krishna uses an analogy for the material body, comparing it to a field. And Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, gives the example of the farmer. The farmer has a plot of land, the field, and the farmer knows his field inside and out. But then there is the king, who is the owner of all the fields, all the plots of lands. So therefore there is the proprietor of the particular field, but then there is someone who is a super proprietor, who knows all the different fields, and that is the example to explain Paramatma, Super Soul, Krishna. Krishna made it very clear. You and I, we know our body. We know our field of activities. But Krishna, as the Super Soul, knows everyone's field of activity. The same Krishna that's in your heart is in my heart, in everyone's heart. Therefore, he knows everything that's going on. Now, in these two verses, a detailed explanation of the field. So, there are five great elements we already discussed in the first session. Same thing described in chapter 7, the five great elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether or sky. Then there's false ego. False ego is the subtlest of all the material elements, false ego. And this term false ego is very, very crucial. Because if we say false ego, that implies there must be a true ego. Otherwise there would be no need for the word false. So let's first define true ego. True ego is defined by this concept. I will give you the Bengali shloka. Jivera Swarupa Hai Krishnera Nityadas. The real true ego of the living entity is that the soul, the living entity, is the eternal servant of God. False ego is something other than that. I identify myself not as God's eternal servant, but as something different. Again, in the first sermon, I said that the living entity, although prakriti, nature, is trying to imitate God as the enjoyer, as soon as that comes about, you have false ego. Because everyone who has false ego is trying to imitate God differently. Some people want to imitate God by becoming the best athlete, or the politician, or the movie actress, or the Donald Trump. It goes on and on and on. Everybody in their own way is trying to imitate God as the enjoyer. That's false ego. If we were to ask Mr. Donald Trump right now, Donald Trump, do you consider yourself the eternal servant of God? What do you think he's going to say? No. No. But somebody who is God conscious, you ask that person, are you the eternal servant of God? Yes, I am. That's true ego. All right, intelligence. So there is material intelligence and there is spiritual intelligence. The demons, many times, are very, very materially intelligent. Ravan had to have some intelligence, otherwise how can he rule that Lanka? Hiranyakashipu had the entire universe under his thumb. He couldn't be a dummy if he didn't have material intelligence. So the demons can have great material intelligence. But there is also a divine intelligence, spiritual intelligence, or a religious intelligence that we learn from Bhagavad Gita and all the Vedic scriptures. This is why it is important to read our Vedic scriptures so that you develop a religious or spiritual intelligence. If you don't read these books, Gita, Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Mahabharata, if you don't read these, you won't develop a spiritual or at least a religious intelligence. The material energy will just sweep you away. Even in chapter 7, Maya Aparita Jnana, Krishna says, there is a class of demon, very intelligent, but their intelligence has been stolen away by my illusory energy. Maya Aparita Jnana. They have intelligence, but it's misdirected, misused. Let's take any criminal. Of course, there are dumb criminals. You'll see reports on the TV, dumb criminals. But the ones that are smart, they're the ones that get away with the crime. They had to have some kind of intelligence, otherwise how could they pull off the crime? So, by reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Ramayana, you develop your spiritual or religious intelligence. That's very important. Otherwise, if you don't, if you neglect it, Maya will come and say, give me your intelligence. Let's go. Let's go to work. The unmanifested. There is a element, pradhan. The unmanifested stage of the three modes of material nature. So that's also still part of this field of activities. Then you have the other senses. You have 10 senses. 5 knowledge acquiring senses. 5 working senses. Your eyes, your ears, nose, tongue, and sense of touch is how you acquire knowledge. Then you have your throat, you have your hands, legs, anus and genital. Those are your working senses, or sometimes known as executive senses. So those are your 10 senses, Gyanindriya and Karmendriya. But then the next thing Krishna says, there is the mind. The mind is the, sometimes referred to as the sixth sense, or sometimes if you're counting 10, then it's the 11th. Even in chapter 15, Krishna says the living entity is struggling with the 6 senses, which include the mind. There, in that reference, Krishna is referring to those 5 knowledge acquiring senses, and then above them, the mind, the sense within. You can't see it, but you know it's there. Especially when you have a problem, right? You don't know something is a problem until it becomes a problem. Then you know, oh, I got a problem. And so many times the mind is the problem. All right? Then there's the 5 sense objects. So each of the knowledge acquiring senses has an object. For the ears, sound. $1 billion industry, the sound, music, right? billion-dollar industry. Just ask Apple, iPod, iTunes, right? People are downloading the latest nonsense noise, which they call music. All right? So sound is a big... Okay, then you have for the eyes, sight, color. Again, what's right very close by? Tinseltown, Hollywood, Bollywood, right? They're making those movies, why? To attract your eyes, so that you will give them your hard-earned money. All right? So sight, color, form is the next one. Then you go to any department store, what's on the first level is the odor department. They have a whole section, hundreds of different kinds of colognes and perfumes. And every week there's a new one being advertised by this prostitute, I mean actress. Or. But that's another big industry, what? For the sense of smell, odor. All right, so we covered three. Then we, oh, you all know this one. Taste the tongue. Yes. And what is our prayer that we say every day, every time? The tongue is most voracious and difficult to control. Yes. And then we have the sense of touch. Wants to touch nice, soft, pleasing things. So the five sense objects. Then there's desire. Desire, again, stems around this central point. I want to be the enjoyer. I want to be God. That was Hiranyakashipu. What was his demand from Lord Brahma? Make me immortal. Why? Because he wanted to enjoy. He was given benediction. He was going to be the number one person in the whole universe. So desire is what's driving everything in this world. Desire. What makes that athlete, the number one athlete, or the musician, or the pilot, any field. It's desire. They're wanted. And they work hard to fulfill that desire. Then, hatred. That's another interaction. This two verses are talking about the field and its interactions. Because we're in the material dualistic world, there's going to be things you like and things you hate. If you want to get above this hate and like, then you have to transcend. But if you're going to stay in the field of activities, then you're going to have to deal. That there are going to be people that don't like you. Like the Pandavas. What did the Pandavas do to the Kauravas? Right? Did the Pandavas do anything? What was the problem? Duryodhan couldn't stand the fact that the Pandavas were better at everything better than him. When the Pandavas were in the forest, Duryodhan and his brothers, they were the center of attention. Am I right? Then when the Pandavas show up in Hastinapura, wait a second. We're no longer kingpins here. These guys are better than us at everything. So that's where it began, the envy and the jealousy. Right? Am I right? You know Mahabharata better than me. You've watched it so many hundreds of times. So, hatred. Then there's happiness, but if there's going to be happiness, there has to be distress, because that's we're in a dualistic world. This material world is dualistic. It's like you're going to have heat, then you have to have cold. It's like we're coming into summer. But if you go to South America, it's now starting to be winter. That's like in June, I was in Santiago. And they told me, Prabhu, before you come, bring warm clothes, because now it's cold. It's just the opposite. Like that. So that's the material world, dualistic. All right, the next thing. Life symptoms. There are different life symptoms and convictions. So Krishna is saying, in summary, this is the field of activities and its interactions. We'll stop there. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. Trinadapi suniche na tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harenama harenam harenamaiva kivalam kalo nastyeva 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 gatiranyata. So the next section I was requested is the section in chapter 13 which Prabhupada entitles The Process of Knowledge. I will chant the verses. Amanitva madambitva mahinsa shantir arjava macharyo bhasanang shauchang stair yamatma vinigraha indriyarteshu vairagyam mana hankara evacha janma mrityu jara vyadhi dhukka doshanu darshanam asakti rana vishvanga putra dara grihadishu nityangcha sama chittat vamishta nishto papatishu mai chananya yogena bhakti ravya bachyarini vivikta desha se vidva maratir jana sansari adhyatma jnana nityat vang tatva jnanartha darshana metaj jnana miti prokta magyanang yadatonyata. So there are 20 items mentioned here, according to Srila Prabhupada's translation. And at the end, the line says, after listing the 20, Krishna says, these 20 things I declare to be knowledge. Besides these 20 things, ignorance. So don't blame me. This is Krishna speaking, not me. You may disagree, you may question, you can take it up with Krishna. But in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, these are the 20 items of knowledge. So, you can think about what you're learning in school or what you learned in school. And then you can ask yourself, did I learn knowledge? Because here are the 20 items. What's the first? I love it. The first thing Krishna says, humility. That's the first item of knowledge. You notice, before every session, what do I chant? Trinadapi sunichena tarorivas. Because Lord Chaitanya says that I have to be humble always. Not sometimes. All the time. So Krishna's first item of knowledge is humility. Coupled with that, pridelessness. That even though you may be very gifted, you may be very, very talented, still, you should be prideless. Then, non-violence. Except for Arjuna on the battle of Kurukshetra. Because Krishna does not want Arjuna to be non-violent, the battle of Kurukshetra. Indeed, throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna, be violent, kill. So this non-violence is for everybody except Arjuna and the Pandavas. We are meant to be non-violent. Then there's tolerance. It is said in the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma is Lord Brahma because of his great quality of tolerance or forgiveness. Sometimes tolerance is equated with forgiveness. For instance, Maharaj Parikshit, for example. Maharaj Parikshit could have counter-cursed Sringi, the boy who cursed him, to die within 7 days. He was that powerful. But Maharaj Parikshit was tolerant and forgiving and accepted. Also, now that I see somebody, I'm immediately reminded of Lord Nityananda Prabhu when he was attacked by Jagai and Madai, and even blood was drawn. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to kill Nityananda Prabhu, said, no, forgive them. So Lord Nityananda is a great example of tolerance and forgiveness. Then there's simplicity. One should be very straightforward, simple, honest, truthful. Not like Duryodhan, very cunning, always cheating and tricking, right? The Pandavas were simple. The Kauravas, headed by Duryodhan, just the opposite. The next item. Approaching a bona fide spiritual master. That's item number 6. Krishna says that is an item of knowledge. Approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Then cleanliness. There are 2 kinds of cleanliness. External cleanliness. We cleanse the body 2-3 times a day. We wear nice clean clothes, especially coming to the temple. But then there's internal cleanliness. As Lord Chaitanya says, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. Cleanse the heart. Cleanse the mirror of the mind. So, internal cleanliness means always thinking good spiritual religious thoughts. That keeps you clean inside. Then there's steadiness. This material world is such that there are going to be trials and tribulations, but we should try to execute our duties steadily. We have to get up, do sadhana, remaining steady in our sadhana or in our obligations as parents or as husbands. Or as wives, or as children. You have to be steady. Steady in your studies. How about that one for the kids? Be steady in your studies. Especially of Bhagavad Gita. Because we're talking about real knowledge. Then we have self-control. Self-control means, even though my senses are pushing and want to go like wild horses, I rein them in. I control. What I'm reading now, Bhima. Bhima would hear so many things and Bhima would say, we gotta go there and smash those guys. And Yudhishthira would say, no, Bhima, not now. So then Bhima would have to control his anger. Draupadi also. After Draupadi was dishonored in the Asat Sabha, right? Draupadi could not rest until all those rascals were dealt with. And all throughout the years of exile, Draupadi was simply controlling herself. And it was very difficult for her. Very, very difficult to control that anger that she felt needed to, which was right. This whole battle of Kurukshetra was fought because of the insult to Draupadi by the Kauravas. So self-control, big item of knowledge. Renunciation of the objects of sense gratification. Yes, something may look very, very attractive, but from the spiritual point of view, it may not be acceptable. May not be acceptable. So renunciation of the objects of sense gratification. Absence of false ego. We already discussed that. Perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease. Yes. Not that we think, oh yes, let me take birth again. That's a good idea. No. Krishna says these are evils or faults. Actually, the Sanskrit word is dosha. The fault. We should see the fault of these things. Birth, death, old age. How many people here like old age, huh? How's it treating you? You like it? I don't like it. And as far as disease, who's the only one that likes disease? Doctors. They're the only ones who like disease. Could you imagine if there was no disease? All those doctors, they spent thousands of dollars and so many years studying. Now there's no more disease. Hey, I'm out of a job. Well, doctors want disease. Yeah, that's right. Huh? Of course, or someone else, not themselves, of course. So these are the four evils, the four faults of material existence. Detachment. Detachment means you are endeavoring for something in this life, but there's no guarantee that you'll get what you endeavor for. So you have to be detached. You try your best, you execute what you're supposed to do, but the end result can't be attached to it. You have to be detached from the fruit. Next item, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home. Not that these things are wrong, but don't become entangled with children, wife, home. Don't get entangled. Stay transcendental. Stay, or at least stay religious and pious. Don't get entangled. All right? Even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events. Yes. The dualities of the material world are going to come and go, but you remain equipoised, even-minded. Just like you all have experience. You're driving on the, like when I came here, there was a big accident on the 91 freeway. So, cars are coming this way and people are cutting you off. Don't get into road rage. Stay even. Calm. Okay, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events. This next item, number 16, is one of the most important, if not the most important. Constant and unalloyed devotion to Krishna. Constant and unalloyed devotion to... This is knowledge. Constant and unalloyed devotion to Krishna. Aspiring to live in a solitary place. Detachment from the general mass of people. Number 19, another big one. Accepting the importance of self-realization. According to the Vedanta Sutra, that's the first thing. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Human being means now you begin the inquiry into the Absolute Truth. Self-realization should be the priority of life. For the materialist, self-realization is not the priority of life. Money, power, fame, these things. But for someone who is really in knowledge, according to Krishna, this accepting the importance of self-realization, that's my priority. And then number 20, philosophical search for the Absolute Truth. Philosophical search. In other words, you read the scriptures, you contemplate, try to go deeper and deeper, try to understand more and more. That's called the philosophical search for the Absolute Truth. The actual end of the search for the Absolute Truth? Krishna. He says that in Bhagavad Gita. The Krishna says, Bahunam janmanamante jnanavamam prapadyate Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. When you come to the end of the philosophical search, what do you understand? Vasudeva sarvam iti. Everything I see, everything I touch, everything is coming from Vasudeva. Everyone say that beautiful name. Vasudeva is another name for Krishna. That is the end of knowledge. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So Krishna said, these 20 items is knowledge. Now ask yourself, how many of those did you learn in high school and college? Then you know how much knowledge you got. This is knowledge according to Krishna. I'll have you say it, not me. All right, Narendra, who's our next chanter? Amanadena kirtaniya sadahari Harinama 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 eva kevalam Kalo nastyeva 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 gatiranyata. This last portion of the 13th chapter that I was requested to speak on. Two verses. Geyang yatat pravakshyami yajgat dvamritam mashnute Anadi mat parang brahma nasatta nasa dutyate. Sarvatak pani padang tat sarvatokshi shiro bukam. Sarvatak shruti maloke sarva mavritya tishtati. So, as we learn in the opening verses of chapter 13, there are two knowers of the field. There are two souls within the body. One is the individual soul who identifies with that particular body, because that is the definition of birth according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. When the living entity identifies with that particular body, that's birth. So that's one soul, or Brahman. But then there is another Brahman, Para Brahman. Now, there is a nice example given in the Uddhava Gita. The Uddhava Gita is the conversation, questions by Uddhava to Krishna prior to Krishna's disappearing from this earth, prior to the Maushala Leela, where Krishna withdraws his dynasty and then Krishna returns back to his home, the spiritual world. So just prior to that, there is the Uddhava Gita. Uddhava knew that Krishna was about to depart, and Uddhava could not bear the thought that Krishna would leave him behind. Uddhava was so attached to Krishna, because what happened was, one day in Dwaraka, Lord Brahma and many, many devatas arrived in Dwaraka, and Lord Brahma situated himself in the air and spoke to Krishna, telling Krishna, you have spent 125 years on this earth. Brahma said, we were the ones who asked you to come. When Mother Earth had tears in her eyes, when Mother Earth went to Lord Brahma in the form of a cow, and then Brahma, Shiva, all the devatas took Mother Earth, they went to the shore of the ocean of milk, and they offered the prayers Purusha Sukta, which are the prayers to glorify Lord Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. And Lord Brahma received the message in his heart, Tena Brahma Riddhaya Adi Kavai. The whole purpose that they wanted Krishna to come was to relieve the burden of the earth. Why was the earth burdened? Because Kamsa had made an axis of evil. He had made an alliance with all the demons on earth. And they were simply building up their military industrial complex. Mother Earth was too much burdened. So Krishna came to relieve the burden of the earth. When Brahma now comes to Dwaraka with all the demigods, Brahma says to Krishna, you have done what we have asked you. You have done it. So now you can return to your abode. This is after the battle of Kurukshetra. That was the last batch of demons, the Kauravas, and all the millions and millions of soldiers. So now all the demons were done. So Brahma said, Krishna, you can return now. When Uddhava saw that, Uddhava said, Lord, now I can see you're about to leave. Take me with you. But Krishna said, no. I have service for you. So service to Krishna is more important than being with Krishna. Doing service. So before Krishna left, Uddhava asked Krishna so many questions. It starts with chapter 6 of the 11th canto and finishes, I think, chapter 29. Because chapter 30 is the Krishna depart. So you calculate how many chapters is that Uddhava Gita. Big, big, big chapter. Many questions. So it says in that Uddhava Gita, there are two birds. The analogy is given. This is Krishna gives this analogy. Krishna says, meditate now. There's a tree. And on that tree there are two birds. One bird is going from branch to branch, trying to taste the different fruits of the tree. There's another bird, not flying from branch to branch, happy, just existing. Krishna says, this is the understanding of the soul and the super soul within the body. The body is the tree. So the one bird, the living entity, you and me, we are going from body to body, tree to tree, but there are only two fruits. What are those two fruits? Happiness and distress. That's it. Yeah, they come in different varieties, but basically, that's all you get. Vanilla and chocolate. Happiness and distress. That's it in the material world. Yes, there are different varieties of distress. There's different varieties of happiness, but my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, I think it was the first lecture I heard him speak personally in New York City back in 1973. Prabhupada was explaining that, what is this sex life that this whole material where everyone's mad after sex. Prabhupada said it's just like milk. You can drink milk out of a paper cup. You can drink milk out of an iron pot. Or, if you're fancy, I'll take my milk in a golden cup. But does that change the taste of the milk? Same milk, whether it's paper cup, iron pot, or golden cup, it's milk, folks. So Prabhupada was saying, sex life is the same whether you're a pigeon, a monkey, demigod, human being, it's the same taste. It doesn't change. It's the same thing. So the same way, you only get two fruits here, happiness and distress. The other bird, Krishna says to Uddhava, he's not flying from branch to branch. Why? He's enjoying the pleasure within. Consciousness. Supreme consciousness. And that other bird is waiting because the two birds are described as friends. Sakha. They're friends. They share the same body. They're friends. The super soul is simply waiting for the foolish bird to turn to him for instructions. That's all. And going back to what Krishna said, what is the 20 items of knowledge? One of the most important ones, approaching a bona fide spiritual. You remember that one? So, in the words of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that super soul manifests himself externally as the spiritual master. That's how to see the spiritual master. And that's how to judge who is a spiritual master. It should be someone who represents Krishna in the heart. He should be saying the same thing Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Like Prabhupada used to say, Krishna says, surrender to me. The spiritual master says, surrender to Krishna. Not to me. No, the spiritual master says, surrender to Krishna. Krishna says, surrender to me. Just like I give that same analogy, there's a certain religious denomination. I'm not going to name any names. But there's a... I know them very well. I used to be one of them. So they always like to say that you have to accept this particular person. But then I quote them, wait a second, he said to love God. He didn't say love me. He said love God with your whole heart, your whole soul. And then I tell them, so who is that God that he's telling to love? And then I tell them, it's Krishna. He is that God who your Savior says to love with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind. So don't get angry at me. I'm doing exactly what he said. He has shown me who is that person that I should love with my whole heart, my whole soul, and my whole mind. His name is Sri Krishna. And then Prabhupada would so many times say, think about this. In different religions, they have their conception of God. But our conception of God, he's not an old man with a beard. He is a blooming youth. And the very word Krishna means what? All attractive. People in general, they don't like religion, right? They think, oh, how boring. No, because you don't understand. Is Krishna boring? Read about Krishna and his activities. He's very, very exciting. He's the most attractive. He's the most influential. He's the most... Everything you could possibly be wanting, Krishna has it unlimitedly. So when we understand, this is the whole idea, you have to understand who is Krishna. That's the whole thing. To understand who is God and what do we mean by God. The Supreme, the Source, the All-Attractive, All-Wealthy, All-Powerful, All-Knowledgeable, All-Renounced also. Everything, He's there. Now, in this, we're going to Super Soul, who's waiting for the individual soul to turn to Him. This super soul exists everywhere. You and we don't do that. This is it. We're locked here. But Krishna is present in every single... Therefore, this verse says, everywhere are His hands and legs. The super soul has hands. The super soul has a face. Everywhere are His hands and legs, His eyes, heads and faces. And He has ears everywhere. Yes, you can't hide from Krishna. He sees everything we do. It's kind of scary when you think about it. There are no secrets. Krishna knows every single thing you did. And then you go, wait a second. I did that. There's no escaping. Everywhere. But that's all right. You're still alive, right? As long as you're alive, you've got a chance. That's why Krishna says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadhamman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja ahang tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshayashami maasuchaha. And I'll let my good friend Kamlesh explain the meaning of that verse, if you would be so kind. Yes. Thank you. So, when Krishna says, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions, people over the years would question me. You used to be in a particular religion. Aren't you afraid? I said, no, look at what Krishna is saying. I will protect you from all sinful reactions. So I have nothing to worry about. He has taken, and I made that decision to surrender to Krishna. What is today's date? July what? All right. So on July 15th, 1973, I made the formal decision to surrender to Krishna. So I'll have my anniversary on Monday. Now, so that was 1973. That's 40 years ago, right? So let's look back. Did I make a mistake? I don't think so. 40 years ago, I made that decision that I was going to surrender to Krishna. I'm looking back 40 years ago, best decision I ever made in my life. I don't regret it. Otherwise, if I hadn't made that, I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't know you. I would not know all you wonderful, nice people. One decision can change everything. So the young people here, choose wisely in the decisions you make in your life. Because the decision you make is going to determine your destiny, your future. It's kind of scary. Choose wisely. But if you stay in the association of devotees, and you read Bhagavad Gita, you will always make the right decision. But if you don't read Bhagavad Gita, I don't know what's going to happen. You may not make the right choice. So, also I tell the children, right? Listen to your parents. Yes. Funny, huh? Don't worry. You make the wrong choice, you may wind up like that, what's his name? Aaron Hernandez. You've heard of, yeah, we know who it is. He made some bad choices. Now he's locked up and he ain't going to come out. Bad choices. So choose wisely. Stay with Krishna and the devotees and be happy. Let's all chant the Maha Mantra. All right, Narendra, what should we do?
Want to get ready for arti?
Jap. I'll be kind enough to lead, no problem.